Hey folks, welcome to an interview-only episode of the MLF Bass Fishing Podcast. This week, we have Brant Grimm on the show. He is the winner of the Phoenix Bass Fishing League, presented by TH Marine, All-American, on Douglas Lake, which was presented by Tin Cup. Yes, we got all those sponsors in there. But anyway, we have a pretty good conversation. We talk about his win, obviously. We go deep on his fascinating boat and get to know Brant just a little bit more. I will throw you over to that right after I sell you some lures. Few lures have stood the test of time, like the original Rattle Trap by Bill Lewis. And now, with the help of Major League Fishing Pro Mark Daniels Jr., we're launching the SB57 and MR6. Go to rattletrap.com to learn more. Alrighty, and we are joined now by Brant Grimm, the All-American champion. Brant, congratulations on the win.
Hey, I appreciate it. It still blows me away to hear you say my name with All American champion. So yeah, that's exciting. I'm glad it's a good deal.
It's really cool. I mean, it was a really cool win because I think you went into second place in like ninth place or something like that, and then you caught, you know, an absolutely giant bag, especially for how that tournament fished. I mean, it was not. It was not a bad tournament, and it wasn't hard necessarily to catch, you know, keepers. But, gosh, the big weights were not there, and you certainly brought it. So, congratulations, man. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I went into this tournament with a different approach. My main areas that I felt like I could do well in, I didn't fish in practice. I didn't fish in pre-practice. I fished them a couple weeks prior to, and of course I fished them in the past, but man, I stayed away from them. So I really don't know maybe the true potential of them. I think maybe I was a little too easy on them. Just because, you know, I went in thinking this tournament would take 15 pounds a day to win. And that's basically, you know, about what it took. I knew lakes fishing tough. I knew it was hard to get shallow bite. So, you know, maybe the first day I could have had a little bigger bag, but I'm happy with it. And then the second day, yeah, you know, you're right. It caught them really good. I mean, I did. I caught them really, really good. And I'd like to mention, guys, you know, I pride myself in being humble. And I respect that, and I like guys that are humble. So I don't ever want to sound cocky, and don't mean to at all. And that's definitely not my intention. But I also want to, you know, I mean, it is All American, and I understand that. So
yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think on stage even you thanked like Nick Hatfield, because I think it was.
I did.
And yep, like exactly. Almost anybody who wins a tournament, it's very rare that they win it 100% on their own. It's either you might have learned something from being in the boat with someone 5 years ago, you might have just kind of gotten a little bit lucky on a big fish or something. Like, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of room for humility in bass fishing because, I mean, my goodness, it's so hard to have everything line up for you to actually win. You know what I mean?
It is, especially big level stuff. I mean, you know, there's a lot of nerves at play, and heck, I mean, everybody that's out there could have caught the fish to win. I mean, everybody that's out there has the capability of getting it done. So yeah, I mean, a lot of things have to align. I mean, it's just when it's your time, you just can't get out of the way of it. I mean, you're just going to win. And I mean, and you know, and it's just a magical thing.
No doubt. Tell me, so you were mostly or almost entirely fishing offshore. And like, from what I gather, you caught a lot of your big fish on a crankbait, which is, it makes a lot of sense, but you weren't long lining, right? Like you were, which I was kind of surprised by.
I was not long lining. Actually on my main area, I caught my fish honestly, the first 2 days I caught them on my first five casts. And then I don't know like if the school shut down. I don't know if they moved. I don't know if I got too close. I don't know if I didn't play it properly. But the first 2 days, man, I caught them on the first five casts, and it was just unbelievable. The first day they weighed 13 something, and the second day they weighed 19 pounds. So it was intriguing. The third day, there was a local sitting right on top of the fish. So I did not get them on the crankbait the third day, and like it almost. And I mean, I didn't get spun out, but like it would have been easy to get spun out. And it really, you know, had a camera boat in the day, had a camera boat, had a camera guy in the boat with me, and then had all the pressure, and then had a local on my hole. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So I really had to scramble the third day. And I was really on pins and needles till, you know, 1 o'clock the third day.
Yeah. I mean, that third day, like it was. You know, you went out and you won it. You did enough, obviously. You know, you won by, you know, over a pound, I think. But it was not, you did not blow it away. And there was definitely, there was an opening for someone else in there. You said at 1 o'clock you felt good. What happened then? Like, is that when you made your last cull or?
That is. I made my last cull. I caught my fourth keeper at 1 o'clock, and it was a decent fish, you know, like 3.5 pounder, and then right immediately after that I culled again, or I caught my fifth fish, which was a small bass, and then when I culled, you know, is a good cull, and then while I was culling I looked at my fish. I really hadn't looked at them. I mean, I know I just kind of been throwing them in the box because I wasn't getting a lot of bites. So when I made that last cull and I looked at them, I was like, hey, you know, I mean, I've got some fish in here. I'm going to be all right.
Nice.
So when it helped. Yeah.
That's awesome. You're tell me about your like one offshore spot. What exactly are we dealing with? Was it, or well, maybe not your one spot, but your key spot. What are we looking at from a depth perspective, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah. They were all real similar. They were all main river channel drops. And they were just current breaks on the main river channel drops. A couple of them were just indentions in the ledge for where the fish would stay, and one of them was a point, you know, on the main river ledge. But they were all main river drops, you know, kind of. Douglas is really its points and a few humps, and that's, you know, really about all Douglas is. So there's not a lot of like true ledge fishing like there is on say Kentucky Lake. It's just, it doesn't have it. So the points, the fish are on the points, they really get pressured hard. I mean, they're really easy to find, and it sticks out on even our less quality map chips. I mean, we have no trouble seeing the points, and so they get a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no doubt. But that, so your stuff, I know you were making really long casts to it, and you felt like you needed to stay off. How deep do you think you were getting your bait?
Not very deep. Sometimes my boat would be sitting in 30 or 40, but I was throwing to 15. I mean, you know, it was
nothing extraordinary then.
No, sir. Nope. All right. Not at all.
When in, because you're local, you fish these tournaments where long lining isn't allowed. Did you really think that there was a potential for someone to really, you know, put a bait in front of fish that they didn't normally see and, you know, win doing something different down the lake? Like, in my head, I was like, okay, well, nobody, they're not allowed to long line as much. We're going to see, like, one of these old school long lining Douglas derbies. And that didn't play out.
That is exactly what I thought, because a lot of the times, sometimes the long lining is not so much about getting your bait deeper. Sometimes the long lining is just about getting your boat off the top of them, because they know. I mean, they get accustomed to, you know, electronics going on top of their head and the boat be on top of them. So when you can get away from them, it sometimes helps. So I really did think that would be a player. And I had some fish that were deep enough that to get a crankbait to them, I mean, I did have a long line. And on day two, I did catch one fish long lining. But my smallest fish on day two was, I think it was 306 or 307. And the fish that I caught was 302. So I couldn't cull with it. And I caught so many 3-pounders. They were just biting. They were biting for me on day two. And I was fishing more relaxed because I caught them early.
Yeah, you were on fire on day two.
I was, and it was just a fun day. Had Melinda with me, and she was so much fun, and we had a good day.
No doubt. Well, I tell you what, it was a cool tournament to watch from afar because you had a strong shallow bite, you had, you know, Brandenburg doing weird things with a Clyde bait, you had the offshore contingent. Like, it was a very interesting tournament. It would have been I will say, I said it a couple times that I really wish that tournament was live because there was just so much different stuff going on. It would have been cool to watch. But either way, man, it was a really fantastic win. Basically now your second win, or your second MLF win, but you kind of targeted it. I read you fished the Chuchu division. Like, you knew you were going to Cherokee, and then you kind of got lucky, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, baby, this is really lining up.
Yeah, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was the week of the regional on Cherokee whenever they announced Douglas. And I was just like, really? I mean, I of course, I had no idea about that. I just couldn't. I was speechless. I mean, really. I knew that I had a lot of local knowledge of fish there a long time, and you know, and I knew it was a possibility. I knew I could be a player. It was in June. Anytime May and June, I feel like I could be a player. It was setting up well, and you know, I done a lot of homework. I really haven't fished a lot of local derbies this year because I've been trying to keep my mind right. And I've been trying to keep my tackle geared up, and I've been trying to keep everything in line with this Douglas tournament. So I definitely tried to prepare and do my homework.
That Cherokee, just fishing that Cherokee event, knowing what could be on the line, like the regionals are already a amazing event, right? Like, it's, as far as a championship goes for that level of fishing, the regionals are great. But knowing that you could get to fish for $100,000, you know, and sleep in your own bed, like, That's got to be a lot of pressure.
It was a lot of pressure. It was, and I finished sixth at the regional. So I mean, I just barely squeaked in there. I didn't have a limit. I didn't have a limit 2 days. The first day and third day, I only had 4 fish, and that was some kind of tough. That was a very tough event. We couldn't weigh smallmouth, and the larger population of Cherokees just. It's not where it, you know, not where we'd like for it to be, and it's definitely not where Douglas is. So, had to fish for largemouth, and it was a tight event. And there again, you know, it's just one of them stars aligning type things where I caught enough fish to make it. So, there was a plan.
No doubt.
There was a plan.
I guess so. You've kind of like fished all of the levels with. MLF, and I think you said you're a general contractor now, but you, or you have been, but like you fished, you know, back when it was the FLW Tour as a pro, actually fished on Cherokee once. I think you ran up the river in an aluminum boat one of the days of that tournament.
I did, and that, I guess that's one of my practices that didn't work out, you know. That was a day that a home field knowledge really killed me. I did not practice in the river at all, period, for that event. I didn't even go up there. I had had my, from the time they released that schedule, I already had it in my mind where I was going to fish. And that was a mistake, obviously. run from one end of the lake to the other in a flat bottom aluminum boat and beat myself to death and, you know, catch 12 pounds. I mean, it was, you know,
Meanwhile, the rest of the field had 12 pounds within like a mile of takeoff before you got to your spot.
Exactly. Yeah, that was not one of my brighter moments.
When you fished the tour that year, did you fish it because of Cherokee, or did you fish it because you're like, all right, this is the right time for me to for me to take that jump, or was it kind of a combo?
Well, it had a little bit to do with business things at home. Had an influx of some cash at the moment, and you know, so had a little cash to spare, and then, you know, did see that Cherokee's on the schedule and some other fisheries I was comfortable with, and I thought, hey, you know, I mean, let's try it. I mean, it just seemed like it was a good time for me, business wise, and just in my life at that point. And hey, with Cherokee on the schedule, why not? I mean, I was confident that I could get it done, or I wouldn't have, you know, even been fishing the event, I guess. But
yeah, yeah.
You know, I just goofed. I tried. My plan didn't work out, Jody.
All right. Do you have any thoughts about going back to the top level? Because, you know, you've, like I said, you fished at all the levels. You fished as a co-angler back on the FLW Tour back in the day. You know, you fished Toyota Series events. Do you feel like, do you have that sort of draw to where you want to continue to move up the ranks and stay at that top level? Or do you feel like continuing to fish BFL events and, you know, continuing to have a real job is what you want to do? Because it seems like both ways are, you know, some guys I could see absolutely wanting to chase that top level at the same time. You know, you just won the All-American. It's not like you can be that dissatisfied with life, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I'm my personality is a fence rider. I tend to ride the fence a lot. I tend to not really be able to just put all my eggs in one basket. So like, you know, this hour I'm thinking I'm going back to the tour. I'm going back to the top level. And then the next hour I'm like, man, that's crazy. You done tried that and you couldn't do it. So I mean, I like to catch fish. I love to catch fish. So what was hard for me on the tour was finding the fish. I mean, you know, and that's always what's hard, right? Is finding the fish, finding where they live. I don't know. I mean, I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes, that I would like to be able to compete at that level, and I would like to give it another shot.
Okay. I kind of had a hunch that's what it was, just because you don't usually try it without having a pretty strong desire to do it. And trying it for 1 year and it not working out is not uncommon, but especially when you've sort of shown yourself again that you can have that level of success, it's got to make you want to try it again, you know?
It does, and it definitely is this win. You know, I mean, like you said, that this is a humbling sport. So, like, you know, for I would say most of us, it one day we're thinking we can't catch a bass, and the next day we're on fire. But so winning that event, it does give me some. It does restore my confidence some, you know. So, I mean, I'd love to be able to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess another big event you've got coming up now is that Toyota Series Championship. It's on Pickwick. It's kind of in the fall. You've got, honestly, pretty much infinite time to practice for it if you want to do that. What's your vibe on that? Because that's a huge event. We've seen, you know, just last year, how much is on the line at that one.
Yeah, I've definitely been thinking about it. I like grass fishing, and I like offshore ledge fishing, and I like fishing tail races, and you know, there's a lot of things that could be at play there, and I definitely would like to spend some time and see if I can figure out a way of catching them. And I think I'm just going to fish my strengths and see how it works out. But no, that's a very exciting event. I'm very honored to be able to qualify for that this way. That's a hard one to get qualified for too. I mean, there's a lot of people trying to make that championship.
No doubt. One question I've got, and this is kind of off the wall, but you're wearing a Ranger hat on stage when you won. You've got a Skeeter with a Mercury, which is wild, and also a brand new Lowrance trolling motor. Like, can you tell me how this came together? Because I'm used to seeing this combo on, like, you know, an aluminum boat that you might run up a really far up a river or something. I did not expect this.
I love it. I had this crazy idea. I've usually, you know, for the past 6 or 7 years, I've had a brand new 521 Ranger boat, you know, decked out with all the bells and whistles. And I think I felt like I didn't deserve it. Honestly, I mean, I just wasn't fishing well. So I found this little boat. I went to my dealership. The story is, I went to my local dealership and I told Brandy. I said, Brandy, I said, I want you to show me the biggest thorn in your side. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, I want you to show me the boat that you want off the lot the most. So she showed me this little Skeeter, and it was in bad condition. It literally had water sitting at 2 foot deep, had weeds growing in it.
Oh, that's not great.
The motors blew up. No, it's not great at all. But that's literally the situation of the boat. Had a blowed up motor, had no electronics. And this was in November of last year. So I brought this thing in my garage, and I totally stripped it down. I rewired it. I put all new electronics on it. I've got a 16 up front with the Lowrance trolling motor and the active target. I've got, you know, 212s in the back. I built all of my electronics mounts myself. You know, for this old of a boat, they just didn't have a lot of options available.
Yeah.
I built all of my mounts, and I installed Aqua Traction on it. It's a product that's similar to Sea Deck. I painted my, you know, this boat had the aluminum lids and the aluminum lockers, so I painted those black, and I put this surf style product on the boat, and Yamaha motors just weren't available. I guess COVID related or you know what have you, but the Mercurys were, and I've always been a Mercury guy. I mean, I love Mercury motors, nothing against Yamaha, but the Mercury was just available, really. So I switched the boat over to Mercury, and all of my Lowrance, I've got all of my Mercury controls. I've got my tack,
like all your gauges and stuff,
hooked into my Lowrance unit. So I've got all my Lowrances tied together. You know, I was running the Garmin since we had just the Garmin for the forward facing sonar.
Yep. We're out of that period, but there was a period where if you didn't have Garmin with a live scope either hidden on the boat somewhere or just on the boat somewhere, you weren't really trying, you know?
That's right. So now with the release of the active target, I was able to utilize Lowrance, and everything on my boat is tied together. So, I mean, it's a 2006 model boat, and like you say, it's a little mismatched, but it's all electronically, you know, it's all really good. Yeah, that's kind of how that story went. It's definitely different. I mean, this boat, I learned how to wet sand on this project right here, and I really don't care if I ever use that again. That's a lot of work. Hats off to all the body shop guys that do this for a living, because man, that is a ton of work to get one shiny.
Explain that to me, like, just a very little bit, because I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
All right, so the gel coat on a boat. Usually when they sit out in the sun for a long time, they get really, really bad condition. This boat was really so rough that you almost couldn't touch it. It almost cut you when you touched it.
Oh, nice.
So you start with sandpaper. You start with like a four, I started with 400 grit sandpaper, and I rubbed by hand the entire boat with 400 grit sandpaper and got the bulk of the grit down. And then each time you go over the boat, you step up a grade in your sandpaper. So I went 400, 600, 800, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000. And then you get a buffing machine out and you buff the boat. So, like, to say that I've got 200 hours in this boat, like, I've got at least 200 hours in this boat. And so, I don't know. It was almost a project, I guess. I don't know. I took it on.
That's awesome. That is actually, like, a way better... I don't know what a story I expected, but that story lived up to my dreams. All right, Are you gonna keep it now? Are you? Is this like a 10-year boat for you? Is this a long-term thing, or what do you think you're gonna do?
Well, if I was if I hadn't have won the All-American, okay, I guess my plan was to keep it forever. Yeah, I mean, I put a brand new four-stroke on it.
You got like 5 years, 5 or 6 years of warranty or whatever. You're gonna run that warranty out for sure.
Yeah, I will keep it forever. But you know, I've already lost the Phoenix money once. I've already lost $20,000 because I wasn't running a Phoenix.
That's fair.
So, got the Toyota Championship coming up, and Phoenix is paying us some good money, you know, if we're in a Phoenix. So, I'm going to miss my boat, and it's an awesome boat. It is an awesome boat. But, I mean, if I am able to get back to that level, I'll probably have to switch boats.
Yeah, I think that's probably smart, if only from a if you get back to that top level, you might fish a couple of tournaments like on the Great Lakes or on Champlain in the summertime. And, you know, it's not an ideal environment when there's $100,000 on the line and you're in a 20-year-old boat. Like, that's... The Great Lakes are like one of the few places where you're like, oh, this is why brand new boats are great. especially when you have money on the line and you're not like, well, I'll just get there at 30 miles an hour and I'll get there eventually. So,
man, this was really the first big tournament that I fished in this boat with. And, so, you know, on the last day we had a lot of weight in this boat with the camera guy and all the equipment. And, you know, we made it back to the ramp, but I mean, you know, even on Douglas, like, you know, it was a little rough. So,
yeah, there's probably some good Saturday traffic out there.
There was a lot of pontoons. So, yeah, I'm gonna miss her, but it's probably gonna have to happen.
Gosh, well, either way, dude, that is fantastic. I love that you you literally put the boat together that you won the All American out of. Not a lot of people can say that. You know, that's cool.
That's true. That's true. That is true. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, yeah, it's a story, no doubt. I'm full of stories.
Well, man, I tell you what, if I have about asked everything that I want to know for now, so if you've got anything else you want to plug or promote or say, it's your time, man. I'm here for you.
I don't really, you know, have anything major I pretty much spilled my guts on the stage and on the camera and everywhere else. I've cried 3 or 4 times, and you know, I think I've got it all out there. Everything that was on my mind. You know, I definitely like thank Strike King and Lose. They keep making these innovative, great products, and you know, we keep forcing them to make better stuff. And it's I thank them. They've helped me a lot. Been there with me for a long time through the years. And that's really, you know, I mean, that's really it.
I like it, man. Well, I know you've got some social media. It's just Brant Grimm, actually, on Instagram. I'm sure you can be found, like, probably on Facebook and stuff, too, I assume.
I do have a Brant Grimm fishing page, yes. And I haven't been as active as I need to be with it, but I'm trying to get that back to where it needs to be. So any help anybody can give me on some likes and some following there on that page, I'm going to try to give it better content.
Well, I like it, man. And, you know, thanks for coming on. And again, man, congratulations on winning the All-American. It's a very illustrious list. You just added your name to. So fantastic job.
It is. Thank you, Jody. I appreciate it. MLF done a great job with the event. As far as I know, everyone had a wonderful time. Had great food, great drinks, and we can't forget some 10-cup whiskey, man. We had some great 10-cup whiskey,
which I assume is gone now. I know you got some when you won, right? You guys, did you burn through that, or did you like shelve that in favor of moonshine? Because you are in East Tennessee.
So this is what I've done. I shelved that one, and I went and bought another one, and I drank the other one. So we drank a bottle of 10 cup, but I still got the one here on the shelf.
All right. I respect that. That's a good move.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much, man, for coming on, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Jody. I appreciate it, buddy.